Psalm 91, these are God's words. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made Yahweh, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. When we trust in the Lord, we have Him as our refuge, and we have Him as our reward. And this is through the redemption that He gives us in the Lord Jesus. If you trust in the Lord, then you have Him as your refuge. You have Him as your safety in the midst of trouble. It doesn't mean you will not have trouble, but it means that God is your safety in the midst of it. Whether by night or whether by day, whether attack by man, like the arrow in verse 5, or whether some disease that comes, like the perilous pestilence in verse 3, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, verse 6, or some great cataclysmic event, a destruction that lays waste in noonday, in verse 6. There's nothing bad that can happen that is more powerful than the Lord. In fact, we know that all of these come because of our sin, and the one from whom we need protection the most is God Himself in His wrath, and so He has given Himself to be our refuge, and not only in strength, but also in tenderness. You see the images of dwelling under His shadow in verse 1, and Him covering us like a parent bird covers the chicks with His wings or her wings. And so the Lord is our refuge. We have a refuge that is as strong as God Himself. And one of the sweetest parts of having Him as our refuge is those first person singular possessives in verse 2. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. This is what you are to know for yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ that if you belong to Jesus by faith, then God is your very own. Not just that he is a refuge, that he is a fortress, or that he is a God or the God, but that he is yours, that you have him and he belongs to you. And then when these things do come into the world and into your experience, you know that they come to you for good, because the Lord is your reward. And the pestilence or the arrow or war disease or destruction, they don't come as your reward, although they do come as the reward of the wicked. And so verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you. And you think, wait a minute, if it's at my side and my right hand, that sounds like it's near me. But he says, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. The more fundamental reality in the believer's experience of painful or difficult things is not the pain or the difficulty, the trouble. It is whatever good the Lord is doing to us and for us in the trouble, because he is our reward. The trouble is not our reward. The trouble is, for the believer, a mechanism by which the Lord, a means by which the Lord is bringing us to our reward. Remember, even from Matthew 6, verse 34, the end of the morning sermon passage from this past week, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's a God who gives us the right amount of food, and the right clothing. He gives us all the right providence, including the right trouble and the right amount of it for each day. So he is our reward. And he is our reward through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember verse 11 and 12 were used in his temptation. Luke 4, Matthew 4. And they do apply to Christ, but he refused to put the Lord to the test. He was confident that verse 11 and 12 were true for him, without trying to force God to prove that it's true. So when Satan tempted him to throw himself off the top of the temple, he said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." In fact, he was, in a sense, treading upon the serpent, wasn't he, in the moment that he rejected the devil? Foolish devil, whose attacks are always end up upon his own head, literally. He quotes from a psalm in which the very next verse that Jesus had grown up singing and praying was about him defeating the serpent. He defeats him, but not just the serpent, upon all his enemies. And you see then in verse 14, God's delight in the obedience of his Son, which becomes our obedience in union with the Lord Jesus. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And verse 15, quite precious, always true of Christ, except for at the cross, in which the wrath continued to be poured out upon him for our sakes, until it was done, it was finished. And Jesus, who entrusted himself to him who judges justly, had completed the task. And the Lord did answer him. But the Lord never forsakes us, even though in order for that to happen. His son, one day, was under such wrath that he rightly and truly cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in all of that, the Lord Jesus still was setting his love upon God, still was knowing the name of God, still calling upon the name of God. And the deliverance and honor and long life and salvation that are his by reward in verse 14 and 16, his 14 through 16, his by merit, are ours by redemption. They're ours by grace. God is the appropriate reward for the Lord Jesus. And that's what the Lord Jesus has earned for us, to have God as our very own. So that when trouble comes, God is our refuge. When we see it happening, we know that for those who don't have Christ, that's the reward, they're getting what they deserve. But that for us who have Christ, God is our reward. And so the difficulty is coming in order to give us him, to get rid of those things that are preventing us from having or enjoying him or glorifying him as we ought. Blessed psalm, a favorite, I think, for many believers. I don't know if it's unholy to have favorite psalms, but it's one of Jesus' 150 favorite psalms. And he it definitely is one of the ones that is more overtly, explicitly about him, and is precious to us, therefore, not just for the fact that when believers are in trouble, this is a psalm that helps us cling to God, but for the sweetness of what we see of our Savior's mind and experience in it, and the fellowship that it gives us with him. Let's pray. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit would make us to know you as our reward, so that we can find a sweet and steady and strong comfort whenever we rest upon you as our refuge. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for your perfect faithfulness, for your perfect knowledge of God's love and your love for him, and even for your experiencing the being forsaken, so that we may be certain that we are never forsaken in you. And so we pray that your Spirit would stir up our faith towards you, that our minds and our hearts might make right use of this psalm, and that we would have refuge and even sweetness in every trouble. Grant it, we ask, in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.